Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
As I've probably said before, it's all about food. So much of salvation history, our mistrust of God and God's response in providence, it's usually about food. What does the Bible begin with, right? The story of Genesis, Adam and Eve, they are given the entire garden, everything. Everything's them. Everything is theirs. The garden, the orchards, all the stray dogs and cats. What do? They steal food. How ridiculous, right? What a sign of mistrust. The Lord says, you're not ready for this one thing yet, and that's what they aim for. That's what they fixate on. If you think of Moses in the time of the Exodus, leading the Israelites across the wilderness, what's the thing that they always complain about? It's no food. And even when the Lord gives them this miracle of miracles, manna, bread from heaven, rains down from the sky, what do they come back with? What, same stuff every day? I mean, never satisfied, never satisfied. When they get to the promised land, what do they often complain about? It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's so blessed. The Israelites often forsake their covenant with the Lord their God, and they chase after the Canaanite gods, and who they're usually seeking is Baal, which is not a proper name, it's just to say Lord. But the head of the deities, the idols of Cana, is the storm god. And of course, when it storms, the crops grow, the cattle flourish. What is it about? Food, right? More rain, it's a desert climate, more food, we get fat, we get happy, and we're in control. We don't need anything. God's response to that is, I'm the good shepherd. Do you not trust me? Do you not trust me to lead you, to bring you to pastures which are verdant, right, overflowing, abundant, that you can rest, that you can fill your emptiness, that you can eat? So many of Jesus' miracles, food. First miracle recorded in John's Gospel. We were reading John's Gospel today. What is it? Wedding at Cana. Oh my goodness, we have a wedding and the bride and groom ran out of wine. How embarrassing. And then Jesus creates like 180 gallons of wine, right? That town celebrated for a month, right? Probably wasn't pretty. But the multiplication miracles, not once, but twice, at least recorded, that he fed a multitude from just a couple loaves or a couple fish, and there were more remnants, more leftovers than what he started with. And Jesus himself takes up that image of, I am the good shepherd. I will lead you. I will pasture you. You are my flock. I love you. I will lay down my life for you. And oftentimes we still don't trust. So today's gospel is the Last Supper, right? It's a meal, food. And remember what happens at the Last Supper, especially for those making the First Holy Communion. Jesus gives us First Holy Communion, right? He gives us the Eucharist. This is my body broken. This is my blood outpoured. You'll hear those words as we say that in the Eucharistic prayer today, the very same words. Jesus gives us a memorial meal, which is his very divine life and presence, that he will abide with us forever. What a beautiful gift, what a beautiful image of his presence among us. Because he recognizes and he says it, this is the night of his betrayal, that he's going to have to go away soon. The following day, he will be crucified and be in the tomb for 3 days. And then shortly after that, on Ascension Thursday, which we would celebrate next week, he's going to rise and ascend to the right hand of the Father. And so he wants his people to know that he's with them. So what does he promise? He promises the gift of the Holy Spirit, one to advocate for us, one to speak on our behalf, one to help us in our prayers, to intercede for us. That's what we celebrate on Pentecost. So next Sunday's Ascension, the following Sunday is Pentecost. So we're 2 weeks away. So Jesus is talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a powerful gift of his divine life and presence to elevate us and to lift us up. We see the power of that Spirit in that first reading. Philip, one of the early deacons, goes out and he starts baptizing Samaritans. But because he's a deacon, he can't confirm them. And so the apostles come later and they happen to be passing through Samaria, and to their surprise, there's Christians. They're like, how did these Christians get here? Philip, right? But then they haven't been confirmed. So then they lay hands on them and then give them a fuller outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we've been given the Holy Spirit for baptism, for confirmation. Those are two of the three sacraments of initiation. But what our young people get to experience today is the third sacrament of initiation, and that's the Eucharist. When Jesus says, I will be with you, he is with us in his body broken and his blood outpoured, right? This is his body, blood, soul, and divinity here for us to receive, to nourish ourselves, to become one with him. As he asks us to love one another, where do we find the strength to do that when it's tough, when we have to forgive people, when it's not easy? Let's go to the altar and even know that he's with us in the church, even when we're not in the church. I don't know if you're one of those families, do you ever bless yourself when you drive past the church? That's an older habit. Not everybody remembers that, but I think that's a beautiful way to remind you that Jesus is here 168 hours of the week. And every time you pass by the church, even if you don't go in to honor him, to pray with him, to sit with him, to talk with him in the silence of your hearts, just bless yourselves as you go right by, because you know he's there. I always get confused when there's multiple churches on each corner. I'm like, bless, bless. Sometimes that gets a little bit heavy. But we want to recognize his presence. Jesus wants to be among us. But at the same time, when he ascends to the right hand of the Father, he's like, how do I make myself present to all the peoples of the world? The gift of his Holy Spirit and the gift of this Eucharist is the secret. And so, as I talk about food, right? If we're going to receive, what's the first thing we got to do? We got to make sure we're hungry, right? Especially as young people, I was excellent at trying to grab a snack just before dinner, because I didn't want to wait for the meal to be served. And mom was never happy about that. Anyways, but you got to come hungry. If we're going to come to this sacred meal to encounter Jesus, the Good Shepherd, here in the most holy and blessed sacrament of the altar, that's the first part, is not to bring our self-sufficiency, our self-contentment, our self-righteousness, to be full of ourselves. No, let's empty ourselves. It's why our young people, you made your first reconciliation a little bit earlier this year, right? You emptied yourselves. You emptied yourselves of your sins so that you could welcome this great guest into your hearts. You could welcome divinity itself. Welcome the Son of God into your hearts, right? You emptied yourselves. Even before Mass you came, right? Did any of you accidentally reach for a snack and then one of your family members said, oh, no, communion fast. You got to get used to that. That's kind of new for you. We don't eat an hour, at least an hour, before we receive communion. Why are we doing? We're emptying ourselves. For the same reason we don't chew gum at Mass, right? Right? Breaks communion fast. That happens to be the case. That's why the underside of the pew is conveniently available. Don't tell maintenance that. They hate that. But don't chew gum at Mass, right? We come to empty ourselves because we are going to receive the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. And we want to be prepared to do so. We want to empty ourselves. So bring your, and again, it's not just your physical hunger. Think of the things you hunger for in the complexity of this world, right? We hunger for love. We hunger to know that somebody cares for us. We hunger to know that we have an identity, that we are the sons and daughters of God. We hunger to know that somebody is merciful enough to forgive us even when we hurt people we love or misuse the gifts that God has given us. We hunger for forgiveness. We hunger for mercy. We hunger for so many things. Bring that hunger to the feast. Let the Good Shepherd lead you to those verdant pastures. He wants to be in our hearts. And I just even say, just as a little reminder, that time after receiving Holy Communion, right, you're going to come forward and receive, right, if you're receiving on the hand, right, ladies, you take your gloves off, if you receive on the hand, if you receive on the tongue, you can keep the gloves on because you're receiving on the tongue. But if we come forward and we receive, when you get back to your pew, take a minute to talk with your best friend. Talk to and welcome the one who has humbled himself to come into our hearts. You'll see us up here, the clergy, what are we doing? We're gathering the fragments, like the multiplication miracles. Remember Jesus and the disciples, they gather the fragments after the multiplication miracles. We do the same thing. We place any of the leftover consecrated hosts back in the tabernacle. We purify the vessels. While that's happening, we're going to take a little time for that. What you get to do is thank the Good Shepherd. Thank Jesus. Welcome him into your hearts. Enjoy his presence. Tell him what you need. Talk to him as you would talk to a friend. Use that time well, that quiet time after communion. Sometimes we're singing and we're praising the Lord, and that's fair too, but in the silence of your heart, make sure that you recognize. Make sure that you recognize that you have received the Lord of Lords. Take a minute to just welcome him. And know that the very word Eucharist, fancy ancient Greek term that it is, means thanksgiving. So we come with grateful hearts that, sinners that we are, God loves us so much that he is not going to leave us orphaned. He is not going to leave us abandoned. Even as Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father and returns to heaven, he has provided a way that he can be with us in every church, to be with us in our hearts, to fill us with his own divine life and the gift of the Holy Spirit. May we come hungry, hungry hearts to receive so great a Savior. May God bless and keep you this day, now, and always.